Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Thanks, Amy. Well, Paul's arguments about the gospel, the nature of it, and the implications of the gospel are at an end, and he now returns to where he began, talking to the Romans about his own ministry and plans. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 21 today. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way round to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I should build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. Paul doesn't want to seem insensitive or unloving toward these brothers and sisters in Rome, whom he has never visited and most of whom he doesn't know. So he sets out to explain how he could write this letter with its forthright nature to these people. The biggest qualification that Paul has to speak to these people is in his calling by God to be the minister to the Gentiles, and this Roman church is primarily Gentile in nature. Paul has knowledge of the character of the Roman believers, that they hated evil and loved righteousness, and this was evident in their very lives. Paul also is sure of the knowledge that these believers have that is doctrinally sound, and thus they are able to teach, counsel, and encourage each other. He commends them for the spiritual maturity here. High praise indeed from Paul. Paul tells them that they are full of knowledge and a desire to do good, but there are some points that God has shown Paul he needs to remind them of and correct them of too. Paul does this with boldness so that the Gentiles can be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul, the Pharisee, the Jew of Jews, was called to the Gentiles, to them, not to the Jews, for the sanctification of the Gentiles, and for his own perfecting as well. Paul's practice upon entering a city or town was always to present the gospel to the Jews first, but his primary calling was to the Gentiles. And note here, too, that the terms that Paul uses have a priestly connotation to them. Paul's ministry is in giving the gospel to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles' offering to God, that is, the Gentiles themselves, might be acceptable to God. Paul is using the language of the Old Testament here with the terms priest and sacrifice and offering, but he's not calling the people back to the Old Testament laws of sacrifice of animals, but of the sacrifice of obedient Christians. The sacrifices in the Old Testament had to be sanctified, and we still have to be sanctified today. It is God himself, through the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies Jews and Gentiles alike, creating holy offerings fit for the service and praise of a holy God. Paul will only boast about what Christ has done through him to bring the Gentiles to obedience in their actions and their knowledge of him. He does this through signs and wonders that the Holy Spirit enables Paul to do for God's glory. The job of the Holy Spirit is always to point back to God. So the Holy Spirit is working in Paul to bring about the sanctification of the Gentiles. Paul tells us the initiator of his work as an apostle to the Gentiles, Christ. He tells us his goal, the obedience of the Gentiles, and he tells us how this is to be accomplished, through all of the action and teachings that Paul has shared as a result of his calling to the Gentiles. Paul's desire isn't to step in where someone else has started, but to preach Christ to those who have never heard of him. This was Paul's desire, not a rule, by the way. This isn't a matter of only go share the gospel where it has never, ever been heard before. No, Paul wants to reach as many as possible, not just stay safe and comfortable in one area, which is evident given the fact that he ends up in jail a lot, a really lot. Paul mentions signs and wonders here, and that's really a pretty standard biblical term used to refer to miracles. The purpose of the miracle is the sign, and the marvelous and unusual character of the miracle is the wonder. His goal, though, is simply to preach the gospel to those who don't know Christ, to spread Christ further and further to the ends of the world. These Gentile converts to Christ are Paul's offering to God. His desire is to present to God these precious souls who have been won to him, not because Paul is so amazing, but because Paul is so redeemed. Seriously, what a testimony this man had. He could preach to the Gentiles in a way that few could. He was in the position to go to the Gentiles, to tell them that what they've been told forever is a lie. It isn't only good Jews who are part of God's family. It is all who believe on his son and repent. Paul, who was the best of the Jews, knows this to be true. And he can show the Gentiles how all of his own goodness as a Jew was worthless. How Christ has redeemed Paul from Paul's self-righteousness and showed Paul his true standing in God's eyes. It's interesting that Paul chooses to quote from Isaiah 52. This passage directly referenced Jesus and his sacrifice for us, yet Paul uses it to demonstrate that his choice not to build on another's foundation is defensible from Scripture, and he's also pointing to Christ, to the sharing of the Messiah with those who have not been told of the servant of the Lord, Jesus. As I read through this today and see Paul commending these people for their character and knowledge that enables them to instruct each other, I have to pause there. We may have lots of knowledge and a desire to do good, but if our knowledge is based on anything other than the Bible, an extra biblical text or memoir or biography, we're going to have a problem. The church in Rome was based on Christ, and because of that, they were commended. I'm afraid that many times we are so much more interested in the latest bestseller, and we base our counsel off of that instead of off of God's word. Secondly, are we boasting in our own goodness or how many people that we've brought to Christ? Are we more concerned with how many people raise their hands and pray a prayer than we are with sharing the true gospel and bringing people to the foot of the cross? None of our good deeds are anything to boast about. Any of the good within us is from him anyway, not from us. So are we boasting in ourselves, or are we stepping back and dying more to ourselves so that he can shine? It can happen to us all, ladies, and it can happen over time, too. We can go from serving to serve to serving to get recognition. I've done it. I'm not so neat, though, and I know it. I know my heart, and I know my motive. When we see that motive in our lives, we need to confess and repent of our pride. It hurts. Trust me, it's painful. But we need to do it and to come back in line with where God wants us to be. So my question for us all today is simple. Are you rooted in God's word? Are you focused on his glory to the point that it is more than okay when you don't receive recognition for whatever it is that you want recognition for? If not, it may be time for you to do a heart check to see if you really are craving a relationship with the Father or if you just want attention for yourself.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.